Looking to get into sports betting? Well, look no further than HedgeBetter. Traditional sports is rigged anyway. Here at HedgeBetter, we're working hard to create and develop the platform that revolutionizes the future of how we as a nation view sports betting. Traditional sports betting is designed to favor books and lose you money. HedgeBetter puts the odds in your hands, cuts out the middleman, and aims to empower a future generation of sports bettors. At HedgeBetter, your bet is an asset, and we give you all the tools to maximize your profits and potential. We can't wait to come to your state soon and help you make the most of your sports betting experience. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website at www.hedgebetter.com to learn more and sign up for our mailing list. To stay up to date with all of our content, podcasts, including Steel and Naz, promotion, and events, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and click on the link on our website to check out our blog. Everyone, it's even on Monday. Let's have a day. Episode 77. Shout out to my boy Raymond Bork, who couldn't make it tonight. Welcome to Steel and Naz, brought to you by HedgeBetter from our headquarters in Braintree, Massachusetts. Tonight, we gave our marathon runners a week off and then had them on as Quincy native, Mix 104-1's Annie Dow came on the show to, you know, talk about the whole experience. She ran under 4 hours in the Boston Marathon. Very impressive. And she also gave us a little career buzz with her at Mix 104-1. So what do you guys think?
It was incredible. I mean, that would take me 4 days, man.
Yeah, I just don't have what it takes to do something for 5 hours.
No, yeah.
We've crazy. Even been in this booth for like two, and I like want to run.
We had to clip so I could pee because I couldn't sit here for half an hour.
That's yeah. How do they pee? Oh, that's porta potties.
I don't think
they pee.
I would 100% piss myself if I'm like a runner. I would have piss running down my leg on Boylston Street.
Yeah, fuck it.
they definitely pee. You dude, there's no way in hell they don't piss for 26
miles. Yeah, like not
miles.
Everyone, but like some definitely.
The ones that are trying to win don't.
No, I agree with
but
that.
But I think, I don't know. Like, yeah, you're but sweating,
they're also freaks and weirdos. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a bunch of guests on the show tonight after Annie Dow. Riley Lang.
Yes.
Riley Lang of the UDL, Ultimate Dial League.
Our player.
He's our player, so he's sponsored. Of course, the Steel Naz podcast gets the best of the best. He's the number one ranked player in the UDL. Go check out the UDL podcast, also a part of HedgeBetter. They have a big tournament coming up this weekend, someone's backyard in Rockland, Massachusetts.
Be there.
So be there.
Can anyone play in those? Did you ask them that?
Yeah, you just got to like sign up.
Yeah, I think it's like $25.
Check out their page. Those guys are doing good stuff.
The thing is, if you're going to sign up, be ready to fucking play because they don't fucking
run. Yeah, that was a fun interview. I just like took it as like WWE, just like rah, 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 and like, let's go. I think we offered him like a 30 pack if he wins.
No, those
we did not. You did.
Yeah, like you did.
That's fine.
I'll throw in five.
That's fine.
If he puts on for the two.
I'll throw them 30 bucks. It's already 600 more than I get.
StubHub.
Fuck you, StubHub.
Lastly, we had Patrick J. Foley from the law offices of Patrick J. Foley in here to talk about the Celtics series, gave our picks for this weekend.
He also laid down the law.
We talk about the NFL draft. We talked about Magic Mike's social life a little bit off and on the court.
fucking guy.
All right, boys, let's have at it. We're going to start with Quincy native Mix 104-1's Annie Dow. All right, we're now joined by Quincy native. How else do I go? 104.1 Boston Marathon runner. Annie Dow.
That's me.
Was that good?
What an intro.
Oh, I nailed it. I'll lead off. So we gave all of our marathon runners, you know, a week to get into it. I think they went to a couple games last week. So we kind of gave the bye week there. But just how are your feels right now after finishing? I think you were under 4 hours, right? That's very impressive.
Yeah, I did it in 3:55. Yeah. I had it in my head to break four. This was my first marathon ever. So I was like, don't freak out if you don't. But I'm really, really, really competitive with myself. Okay. And so the entire time I just kept being like, all right, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. And I'm very just, I'm proud of myself. And at this point, it's kind of wild to look back and be like, holy crap, what just happened? Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you guys didn't see me the next couple days after I ran because I was in shambles.
Oh, jeez.
And I don't know how to explain how humbling it is, the amount of pain you're in after running a marathon. I'm in pretty good shape. I trained for 6 months for this. And the way that my legs felt, the blisters I still have, Like, I don't know if I ever want to get a pedicure again because I don't want the woman to have to look at my feet.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've seen some war stories, so I'm sure you'd be okay.
I'm wearing socks all summer. If you see me at the beach wearing socks, mind your business.
So these blisters were first? Like, you haven't gotten them in the training at all, like, leading up to that point?
I never got blisters. I never had any issues. And I think it's just you're pounding your legs during the marathon. I'm very lucky. I trained on the hills, so I knew what to expect. A lot of people don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. You know, they're coming from all over the world or different states or whatever it is, and they don't know what's coming. As soon as you hit Newton, it's not just one hill. There's three hills. And it's miles 18 through 20. So they're really just like, this is not going to be fun. Like, you hit Heartbreak Hill at mile 20, and you're like, what am I doing? I chose this. I paid to be here.
And, like, physically, that's when your body starts to, like, shut down, too. Absolutely. So, like, at the hardest part, it's like, all right, here's your hardest challenge, like, straight uphill.
And you're so delirious going down the hill, and I can't even explain. Just, you're looking around, and it's like, you're kind of just, it's like everything's a mirage. You're like, is this happening? Am I really here? And then the 4 miles after Heartbreak are kind of that same weird feeling. But when you turn onto Boylston, there is no better feeling in the world. Wow. The first person I saw, so you know, you're on Hereford, and then you turn on Boylston, is Craig.
Oh, really? let's go.
Showtime.
Craig's like, antidote. He's up on like a light pole or something. I'm like, Craig?
I was about 40 feet in the air. You were flying, by the way. You were the first person I saw, so.
Yeah, my last mile was actually my fastest. Awesome. Because I just think as soon as you see.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I start to notice
the
people.
City. It's like, here, let's go.
Yeah, I hit the gas. I was like, there's no way I'm stopping.
What was it for fastest? Because I know if you run a 4 minute mile, I think it's what, 8 minute mile pace for the whole race?
Yeah. So if you run an 8 minute for the entire, that's a 3:30. Oh, so okay. My last mile, I think, was an 8:17.
8:17.
Wow. But yeah, it's just the screams of people on Boylston is something I will never forget for as long as I live.
That was kind of my question. I wanted to lead off as like someone who's never ran a marathon, probably will never run a marathon in his life.
Never say never.
I don't know.
Don't count yourself out.
Even I'm going to run one.
Love that. Magic. I'm a hard nut.
My question on that was how much does the fans like feed off of you? Because I think running 26.2 miles, I love the adrenaline, things like that. I'm sure that ate you up. But how much does that get you to somewhere?
So it's so funny. Because I've always ran with music. I've never, you know, I don't like to talk to people while I'm running. That's kind of like my time to zone out. I barely wore my headphones because of how many people there were along the route screaming your name. I mean, people that don't know you, have no clue who you are. Just, I love you, Annie. Keep going. I got really lucky with people that listen to the station.
Oh, that's awesome. You got that too.
Yeah. You're a star.
Thank you. So I'm running through Framingham Center at this point, and I just happened to look up in this storefront, and there's a sign in the window, and it says, "We love Annie Dow." And I was like, who's that? Is that me?
That's awesome.
Just people that listen to the show. So I really lucked out in that way. I actually had my name written on my arm, and I had A. Dow like written on my Dana-Farber singlet, but I kept being like, how do these people know my name? And I was like, got it. But that really carries you through the entire way. It's like, do I want to listen to another Cardi B song, or do I want to hear these people scream my name? And I'm going to hear the people scream my name.
No, because more Quincy shoutouts. I saw Joey Lawler and Walter finishing up, and they just had like big gerade on in the middle, not looking at anyone, just looking towards the finish line. I'm like, they so want to stop right now, but they just want to keep going.
Yeah, laser focus.
Yeah, you can't stop. I mean, I watched people, and I think that a lot of people, like veterans of the race, can stop and hang out with their family or their friends and talk. And I just was like, Annie, if you stop, you will not keep going. Especially on the hill, so many people stop and they walk, and it's just like, you got to keep going. When your body is like, please, for the love of God, screaming at you, you're your mind and like everything else just has to take over.
Oh yeah, because like if I stopped, I'd just be like, fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like I stopped.
Totally. Now, was there any like competitor? Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of competitor in you, but you see the clock kind of towards the end and you're like, wow, I want to get under four here. Let's just kind of wrap it up.
So I took off at 11:15. I was in the first wave in Hopkinton when we started. So I kept making sure I wasn't going to go past 3:15. So I think I was at like, I don't know, 2:58, and I looked at my watch and I was like, we got to get cruising, Annie. We got to get cruising. Like it's just crazy how many thoughts go through your head and how little thoughts go through your head at the same time. Like you're trying, or at least I tried so hard to stay as present as possible during the whole thing mm-hmm. because you're never going to get those memories again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I would like to run it again, but there's nothing like your first time.
Oh, for sure.
And those people's faces are ingrained in my brain. You know, the people along the way that you see. Like, Craig on a telephone pole yeah. will be in my head for the rest of my life.
What else? Why were you up on a telephone pole?
I was just getting my visuals. I thought it was a parade. No, I like a good point of view. So what was your favorite part from the race?
It's I don't know if this is, like, too broad, but I really feel like the people along the way. I didn't expect there to be people every single mile. I thought there was going to be a lull in, like, Ashland or maybe, like, the beginning in Natick. Mm-hmm. It was packed the entire time. And I think it's because this was the first one fully back. And, you know, Sox played that day. And everyone, you know, COVID restrictions are relaxing. And everyone, it just felt like Boston was back, and it's the first day of spring, and it was 55 degrees and sunny, and everyone was just living. There was one girl in particular, I think she was in Wellesley Center. She was a younger girl. She listens to the station. Her name's Molly, this tiny, tiny little girl. She had sunglasses on. She just had a sign that said, "We love you, Annie Dow." And I was like, "I love you so much. I love you so much." Awesome. I just had, when I turned on to Boylston, I just had a single tear go down my cheek, because when it hits you that, holy shit, I'm going to finish this. Like, this is really, really happening. It's the wildest feeling in the world. The finish line almost feels like it's getting further and further away. Yeah. And you're like why are you
like
doing
a dream
that?
Come on. Like,
yes, exactly.
I saw you throw up the shocker at the finish line.
Oh, I sure did. So I was trying to do I love you with both of my hands, and I just missed a finger. Hey. So I'm literally like, we're going to shock the world crossing the finish line. I'm like, oh, my God, Annie.
That's great. Even That's like awesome. I was on Boylston Street there, that Abe and Louie's quick shout out there. I was waiting for my cousin, but you could just tell the emotions of all the race, obviously. Yeah. Like the bombings in 2013.
Richard's brother running it.
Yeah. Right. I haven't been to a race. Well, I didn't go to that race, but I haven't been to a race before then. So if you just go in there, it makes you want like tear up a little bit or
definitely.
Like something. You know, the emotions are kind of flashing. I couldn't imagine, you know, running it and completing it for the first time.
And the people you see while you're running too, not even the people watching, but there was a woman in front of me at one point in the back of her jersey said 75 and stubborn. And I was like, imagine being that badass. Oh, you're Christ. 75 years old and you're just like,
I'll be dead.
Yeah, right?
Right? I'm never going to give up. There was an older guy running barefoot. I'm like, you're running barefoot through
yeah. That's bull.
Through
that's
Framingham?
Savage, yeah. yeah, right.
Through
yeah.
Framingham?
Yeah, that guy, I don't know if, I don't know.
Do you know what I've done outside the baseball tavern?
What's yeah. the thought process?
Yeah,
Brian?
That guy should be stopped. Well,
they say running barefoot's like supposed to be really good for you. That's why they make those weird shoes that look like gloves Fair. For your feet.
But he was like straight up barefoot.
Wow. Like,
it seems like one pebble, you're done.
I don't know. 100%.
Just a little fun fact.
I don't trust that
They
guy.
Think that the long distance ability running of humans has been dampered by the modern day
shoes.
Running shoe.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know that.
Was that a part of like the Illuminati?
No, back in the day, like ancient, like not even ancient, New Mexicans back in the day, back before we actually made tools, we had to run down our food. So we had the ability to run down deers. We used to be able to run 250 miles a day.
Like the first guy that ever ran in Greece, do you think he ran barefoot? I'm going to say yeah.
Definitely.
Probably, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a great point, actually.
You know, he dropped dead at the when he got there, but yeah. that's neither here nor
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he was murdered when he delivered that message.
Even if, like, my next question were there, like, if he was running, like, what footwear would he be wearing if he had any footwear at all? Like, the guy from Greece. Like, I
right.
some sticks on
like
the
ball. Sandals.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
Just like little paddles on your feet. I don't know. Like,
out of control.
Like Jesus the OG shoes. Gucci slides.
Yeah. You said a pair of Balenciagas. Like, where'd you get
those? Yeah. It's from the future.
The future is right.
Some guy dropped them off. Craig Hines.
Yeah. Okay. Shout out Keith.
Wait, so then this brings me to my next part. Also, we're huge on fan power. Like in Boston, like we're all about that. That actually what excited me about signing up for my first road race too. I was cheering for my sister, and you see everyone cheering, like, let's go. Like, yeah. Same thing. That's the best thing to do. For for anyone running a road race in the future, put your name on your shirt.
100%.
Everyone will scream your name. It's like the funniest thing to do. Like,
it's crazy.
It's so funny. Like, I yell at, especially you have a few drinks when you're on the sideline.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
screaming naturally. At every single person that runs by. It's awesome. Drinks,
yeah.
Come on. I'm going to have a couple drinks when I'm racing.
As you should.
Yeah.
Some guy offered me a beer at like mile 12.
Yeah.
A full solo cup. And I was
that
like,
would take me early. Down. Yeah. I'd be like, what? That's what I really
yeah,
want.
Yeah, this guy's dude. Right.
I want a drink, actually.
We locked eyes and he's like, you know you want this. And I was like, sir, this is mile 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get me at like mile 24 yeah, yes. and maybe.
You,
know,
you devil.
Maybe. Yeah,
devil. Yeah,
get this guy out of here.
When you
security.
When you're running by Wellesley College, they call it the Scream Tunnel because it's all the girls that go there. And they hold up signs like, kiss me, I'm graduating, or kiss me, I'm gay. Like, it's just hysterical when you're running by them. But I swear to God, it was like a wall of tequila hit me. And I was like, I can't be near any of you.
Yeah, what is this ad?
I was like, I'm jealous that you're like a wild 21-year-old right now, but I will projectile vomit if I come near you. So I'm going to head the other way.
So, like I said, brings us up to what was the worst part of the race? I know you said Heartbreak Hill, but anything that was particularly bad?
Pre-race jitters?
Yeah, like the morning... You know, I tried so hard to stay calm the morning of. I'm really not a calm person, but I was lucky enough. I ran for Dana-Farber, and we met all together at the Marriott Copley. So at least you're kind of with, I mean, you're with like 500 of your closest friends, and everyone's in the same boat. And you're all like, I can't believe we made it. I can't believe we made it here, especially for the people that were supposed to run in 2020 like me. It's like, this has been 3 years of your life. You're just trying to get to this day, trying to get to this day. Walking to get the bus at the Commons was probably the first time that I was like, oh, crap. Oh, like this is happening. I'm getting, you're on a school bus. First of all, let me tell you this about the school bus. School I haven't been buses. On a school bus since I was, I don't know, 14 years old.
Did they fix the problem of seatbelts yet?
They sure haven't, Craig. And let me tell you, we're on the Pike going to Hopkinton. We hit a bump. I got air. I was this high off the seat. I was like, I'm gonna snap my back before we even get to the start of the race. And then when you get to Athletes Village, when you're in Hopkinton, that's when like the pre-race jitters start to hit a little bit more. But I just tried to be like, you've done the training. You have to remind yourself, like, you've done all the work. This is just the victory lap. That's all it is. You can't think of it as like the end all be all because you already did all the hard work. You know, I woke up every Saturday morning. I ran in the snow. There's snowflakes going in my eyes. Yeah. 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, I'm running 18 miles. Again, why did I do this? Oh, I chose shit. This life. Yeah. I chose this life. This is on me.
That's playing with smoke.
It is. My brother's always like, you don't have to do this. No one's forcing you to. And I'm like, no, you're right.
What do you think about his cousin deciding to run every major marathon?
It's so funny. So after I finished Boston, everyone's like, will you do it again? Will you do it again? I'm like, hell yeah, I would do it again. But I would love to be able to do one in London and the one in Paris and like a New York or a Chicago.
Must be like a drug then. Cause yeah, you got every marathon runner seems a little hooked after it.
Well, I think
if you're down for another one.
If you run marathons on purpose, you have screws loose in your head. There's something wrong with you. And I accept that about myself. I'm happy. I'm happy to admit that. But I think that, and it's corny, but runner's high is a real thing.
100%.
It is the most euphoric, beautiful thing when you can't feel your legs anymore and you're just cruising.
When do you normally get it on your run?
Usually about like 10 miles in, I can't feel my legs anymore. I know, which is wild. During the marathon specifically, like when I got to Heartbreak Hill, I kind of started to feel it in like my hips and stuff like that. But then again, as soon as you hit Boylston, there's a picture of me actually on Boylston and both my feet are off of the ground. And I was like, was I levitating?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was like I it. Levitating?
Was that when you were coming around the corner when you saw Kennedy?
Yes.
Yeah. You had definitely a hop to your skip.
100%.
See, I've gone a different take too, is like someone who I know ran a marathon. They like say, oh, I already know how it feels to run a marathon,
yeah.
AKA like might've felt like shit. So I don't want to run a marathon.
Sure.
It's kind of different.
Yeah. I feel bad for people because some days are just not your day.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes with anything, any sports, any whatever. Mm-hmm. And it sucks if you get to your training and whatever, and you finally get to the marathon day and you just don't have a great race. That sucks. And it sucks if you have a bad experience. But I just think that that would push me even further to be like, well, I got to kick ass next time, or I'll do New York that's maybe not as hilly, or whatever it may be. I just think that you have to have that competitive edge.
That's
to
a way
you.
Better attitude than my friend that I was telling about that. I'm like, that was, I was like, that's just a piss poor attitude. It's good you ran one, but you need to like
figure it out for part two.
Right, like, yeah. Right. Or, yeah, or just, you know, be proud of yourself for still accomplishing it. Like, if you finish the marathon, that's an accomplishment in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy when you think about it.
So then after I have a Coke, like, is there like a, almost like a pompous attitude to people that have finished the marathon, like after we're like people kind of like walking around like rocking the bib, having the blanket on, like
it's the Kevin Garnett like I just knocked the bully out moment,
right?
Like I saw one guy on the train and he's like, he saw some guy run, he like when I was waiting, oh you run today, and he's like, yeah, he's like, yeah, I already ran, I'm already changed up, like I already went out to eat.
Yeah, see you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, this is my like 38th or something.
Yeah, call him my dad. Yeah.
You're like, sick.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The craziest part, and I didn't know this obviously because it was my first time, is when you cross the finish line, you have to walk like 6 blocks. And the last thing you want to do after finishing is continue to move.
That's awful.
It's terrible. So, and they move you like you're on an assembly line. So there's the volunteers are amazing the entire way. I can't say enough about them. And they're in these awesome neon jackets. And so you finish. And again, you're like in this haze. And they're like, okay, keep going, sweetie, to get your medal. And then you keep walking to get the tinfoil bib. I mean, the tinfoil blanket. And then you keep walking to get a water. And then you keep walking to get a I'm like, when is it stop?
Yeah. Where's the bench?
I was like, I just want to go drink a beer with my family. Can we just
like
get
climb
to that
over
point?
The jersey
to sit after?
I tried to not sit because it's hard to get up.
Yeah, I could see that.
But then at a point, you're just like, ah, fuck it. I'm just going to sit down. But
now, how fast did the first beer go down? Like, was it, you know, tough drinking?
What was it? Michelob Ultra?
My first one was a Heineken, actually.
Oh.
I know.
Bold move.
Guess that's a marathon move.
You know what was weird though? I thought I was going to be starving afterwards, and I wasn't, because I think your body is just like, what did you just do to me?
Did you eat before or during?
I ate before, like a good breakfast before, and then during it, they have like those goo energy things. I don't know if you guys have ever tried any of those. That shit's gross. I don't do that. They have this product called Untapped that I use. It's like a pure maple syrup, so you get the carbs and the sugar that you need. Because I didn't know this, like when I first started training, is how much you need to eat and how much if you're a salty sweater, you need to take salt tabs to retain the water, or you're just going to be dehydrated the whole time. Like, it's crazy how much stuff you have to do while running. Mm-hmm. And the last thing you want to do is like rip open a maple syrup packet and dump it down your throat, but you have to.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than that Solo cup they were offering.
Yeah, not that.
Yeah, that's
not
crazy.
That.
If I got handed a thing of maple syrup, I'd be like, what the fuck?
I know.
I never would have thought of that in my life.
Especially if I spilt it and I was like sticky. Like, it's all over me.
Well, that's what it is. So like along the way, they have water stops and Gatorade stops, and I'm trying to drink, it's like orange Gatorade, and still run at the same time, and there's just orange Gatorade down my face. It's like a little kid at camp. That's what I felt like the entire time. Just like sticky, and like I had...
The fun dip everywhere.
No, yes.
The Camp Wing skit when they do like the toothbrush. You guys were there?
I didn't go to Camp Wing. I went to Atlantic.
Did they do the toothbrush like skit?
No.
So at Camp Wing, they had this thing where all the camp counselors.
You're going back, man.
You're showing your age.
This is a nostalgic episode with Annie Dow here. I was like calling the old friends. I'm like, can I ask her like any like old secrets she used to have, or like any fun thing we used to do?
Greg.
I don't know. I just wanted to go deep.
I bring you your mail, and this is how you repay me.
No, in like a good way. Like, oh, you're like afraid of spiders or like something like that. But
so we're gonna bring a bunch of spiders,
right?
But what it was is all the camp counselors went down a line, dunked a toothbrush in a jar, brushed their teeth, spit in the jar, then the next person went.
No.
They did about 10 of them, and then the last person drank the thing.
No.
And when I say they spit back into this wasn't like a little spit. Nope. Yeah,
I don't remember it.
You don't remember it?
No.
Yeah, and then I think it was like Carson. He like had to like literally drink. They drank it too. There was some gulps in there. It wasn't like a pour.
That's nasty.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. No. But.
That's tough.
Good time.
So what foundation did we didn't even get to that. What foundation did you run for?
I ran for Dana-Farber.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I was originally supposed to run in 2020, and I trained all of 2019. I raised over 18 grand, and then COVID hit, and they were like, haha, marathon's canceled, which totally understandable, but it just sucked for the time being. But happy to run for them again. They are one of the biggest charity teams. There's 500 people, which is just incredible. And the amount of people, you know, there's people on the team that are cancer survivors or people on the team that lost someone and still show up every single year. Like, it's just, And that's the stuff that pushes you along the way. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. It's about these people sitting in a chemo chair every day. Mm-hmm. I can move my ass a couple miles. You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
Like,
yeah, that's...
you put one foot in front of the other because of all of these people
doing
that.
It's just
that
like such
stuff.
A great mindset to have that it's not about me running this.
Yeah.
It's about everyone else.
It's why, well, the charity, yeah. I mean, I'm no disrespect to the elite runners at the marathon, yeah. because they're incredible, but the charity runners are the backbone of the Boston Marathon.
Oh, yeah,
I
absolutely.
Mean, it's why you run. You need a reason to run 26 miles. Right. I mean, not made for the elites, it's to win. Mm-hmm. Not for me. Maybe one day, but.
Yeah, we'll see. Stay yeah. tuned.
Now, were you thinking about running, because there was one just in October, right?
Yeah. So I was a little hesitant to do that one just because I didn't want to set myself up, I don't want to say for failure again, but if they did decide to cancel it or something with COVID happened, I just wasn't ready to kind of go through all of that again. So I was like, I'm just going to wait till April.
Fresh start.
Yep. Hopefully everything will be kind of chill by then. We'll be able to have a full marathon. And we did.
Now, I hope the radio station gave you like a nice send off. Tell me about that. Like, did they get it going the days before?
Yeah. So we did a week long bit to raise money for Dana-Farber for me, which was awesome. So
Mix 104.1, right?
Mix 104.1, yeah, the Carson and Kennedy show. Nice. So the whole challenge was if I raise $10,000 by the end of the week, Carson, one of my coworkers, he had to walk barefoot and blindfolded across a hallway full of Legos.
Oh.
And we had a machine hooked up to him that simulates labor pain, which, I mean, all men should have to do. Love you all, but, like, you guys don't have to do any of the work, so you should all have to experience what labor is like. And so we did end up, we ended up raising $10,000 because the people that listen to the station are just incredible. And watching him walk on the Lego pieces.
That sounds
barefoot.
So
there was a circular one. It got stuck in his heel. And so he's like trying to kick it off as he's going through like legit contractions. It was an all-timer.
Is there a video of it? We might
sure
have to clip
is.
It. Okay.
Sure yeah. is. I'll have we'll to send it to up. You guys. It was awesome.
We need that.
Yeah. And then, you know, morning of, I got to talk to them and just kind of go through everything, got some well wishes. And like I said, along the way, the amount of people that were there and just were like, Annie Dow, we love listening to you or whatever it may be. And I was like, don't know why. I don't know why you want to hear my voice in the morning, but you do. And it just reminds you, you know, how you can connect with people. And you guys feel that way too, I'm sure. It's just, it's not about you anymore. It's about this bigger thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Now we did the softball tournament last year towards cystic fibrosis. And it was a great moment to, you know, this is fun and all, but, you know, doing something for a better cause.
Absolutely.
Right? To your point. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Annie, don't be humble. I love listening on the radio. That positive attitude, that bubbly energy always wakes me up.
Thank you, Craig.
And if traffic in the morning. Actually, one time I called in and me and Annie had a game show and hate to brag, but I beat her.
He did. I will say, well, Craig called in. Did you play Kennedy once too?
No, I tried to call in. I don't think I got in.
But he would play, we play this game, Can't Be Kennedy, every single morning. It's 5 pop culture trivia questions, and Craig would play along and in his car. And Craig, low-key, knows a lot about pop culture.
I would, like, take videos and send to them because I'd be playing even if I didn't get on.
He knows, like, Lady Gaga's real name. He's like, Stephanie. I'm like, what? How do you know that? And he called in and he beat me one day, and I was like, yeah, fair and square, man. Fair and square.
Love listening to Annie.
Thank you.
I listened to one this morning, and you knew Tom Brady's full name. I was very impressed.
Thank you.
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr.
Ooh. I thought he was the third. I said the third, and then he said, my coworker Dan said he is a junior.
I thought Tom corrected you. He's like, Annie? He like calls in. Yeah.
Hello, it's Tom.
Yeah. Take her point away now.
But. My kind of last questions. We can talk about the marathon a little bit.
Sure.
Want to talk about Mix 104.1.
Yeah.
So how did you kind of get in there? And I kind of know that field, and it's really tough to get into. And
sure is.
I'm sure you started off as part-time and worked your way on as full. So if you can just give me the run of that.
Yeah, sure. I'll try to give you.
A lot of adversity, I'm sure, came your way.
Short story. Yeah. So I did my school's radio station in college, and I always wanted to do like TV or some kind of broadcasting. That's kind of what I wanted to do my whole life because I like to talk, obviously. And I fell in love with radio in college, and I knew a guy that worked for the sports hub, Rick Radzik. He's from Quincy.
Yep. And on the show. Rick's a good guy.
He's the absolute best. Yep. Absolute great best. Guy. And so originally I really wanted to do sports. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, yeah, I'll come in. I'll give you a tour of the station, whatever. I used to send him my reels from college. And so I went in and he's giving me a tour of the station. And at that time, the Sports Hub and Mix were owned by the same company.
Yep.
So he introduced me to the music director of Mix. And he was like, this is Annie. You know, she works down in goes to school in St. Augustine, works at her school's radio station, blah, blah, blah. And me and the music director just kind of hit it off. And I just stayed in touch with him. So after I graduated, I graduated from Flagler April 2017, and then I started working at Mix that July. And I worked overnights. I worked the street team, which is like the promotions team.
Yeah.
I worked upstairs doing like administrative work. I did everything and anything they needed me to do because I was just like, I want to be a sponge. I want to be like the Swiss Army knife here. I want to be able to do everything. And the girl that did traffic at the time on the morning show, she was leaving. She got a job in Baltimore. And they were like, you want to try out? Because they had worked street team, or I'd worked street team events with them. And they were like, this girl's crazy and she's got a good personality. Let's try her out on the radio. And so I tried out and I was nervous as hell. And I'm never nervous. I don't get uncomfortable easily. I love to talk. I can connect with people easily. Mm-hmm. And I was shitting my pants.
Oh. Horrified.
Because you're like, oh my God, I'm on a top 10 morning show. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be 100,000 people listening to me, right? I mean, probably more.
More opportunity. You don't want to blow it.
Yeah,
right?
It's terrifying. And I just kind of weaseled my way in and I got more comfortable and my personality on the show grew and my responsibilities on the show grew. And yeah, it's been a wild ride. I mean, it's been the last 5 years of my life.
5 years, wow.
Nice. This is my first job out of college, and I'm kind of just like, what the hell happened? It's crazy to think about.
It is cool to like watch that like progression. Even I feel like I used to listen to the show, and I felt them like kind of like wanting to bring you more on.
Right.
And, like they could see your personality. They wanted that to like shine through, and it like was cool giving them more airtime for you.
But, yeah,
it's awesome to see.
There was moments, you know, being from Quincy and, you know, having like Miss Walsh, one of our teachers from high school, she's texting me. She's like, I can't believe you're on the radio. Like it's wild. The mailman at my mom's office is like, oh, I heard Annie did blah, blah, blah this weekend. And she's like, how do you know that?
What?
But it's
keeping tabs.
That's what's wild in having that kind of home connection. You know, I'm so blessed and I'm so lucky that I get to work in the city that I grew up in. You know, it's so dope.
That's unbelievable.
And the people you get to meet along the way, not even like, I mean, the celebrities are cool, but the listeners, there's nothing better.
I think I saw Donnie Wahlberg. That I'm a big Blue Bloods guy. Like, that's everything.
Okay, I love Blue Bloods. And everyone loves Donnie because of NKOTV. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Bridget Moynihan, the better Mrs. Brady. Yeah, yeah.
The Reagans are my family. I'm obsessed with Blue. And I told him that. So when the new Kids on the Block came into the studio and I was like, listen, Donnie, you know, love your music's great, but we got to talk about Blue Bloods.
Hold on a sec.
Wait, is this fan theory right?
There's like a scene where like the whole Reagans are all Jets fans, and I'm sure he hated that scene.
Went probably against every single fiber of his being to do it.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a bunch of people that have came through the studio that have been lucky enough to meet or interview along the way, and it's been crazy. But when, you know, we would do these events before COVID hit specifically, and there's people that come up to me and they're like, I spend more time with you than I do with my family because I'm in the car 2 hours each way to work. And they feel like they know you, you know? Yeah. And then you're just like, well, I want to know your story too. Yeah. Can you tell me some details about your life? It's crazy.
It's funny because we've had Felger on before. And he said like the best, at least sports talk radio, is just like the negativity of it. And it couldn't be anything more opposite of, I don't know, like the TV talk, radio type. So it's cool to see that perspective of, you know, people with positivity instead of these negative takes.
I know. Yeah. Sports radio is very interesting to me because no matter how well your team is doing, like the Celtics just swept, and I feel like they'll go on and just be like, they still suck and blah, 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 and they did this. I mean, that's what makes good radio for them, and that's what makes the money, and kudos to you. I would just be like, can we give Jalen Brown some credit, or are we just
we did
not?
Pretty good,
I mean, same thing. Would you listen if it's me and Amy? Like, he did so good.
I know. That would be me. That would legit be me.
Did you see him shoot?
Like, get Deuce Tatum on the court, too. He's great.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Great.
He was so cute doing his skip through the locker room.
I love him.
Yeah, this team's awesome.
Even the callers into those shows, like the talk radio shows, it's all like positivity, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this today. Like, I listened to one of the radio stations. It might have been Maddie in the morning, the morning of the marathon. It was just the marathon runners calling in and be like, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Imagine people calling that into like 98.5 or like WEEI there. I couldn't imagine just the positivity that would like Felger or Maz or any of them would take of that. I think they'd just be like way too much.
Well, it just, yeah. It goes against like the vibe everything. Of their show, everything. You know?
Yeah, they'd be pissed.
Yeah, they'd be like, why are you calling?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Marathon Monday. We have a 98.5 caller doing. What are you doing today? He's like, I'm at fucking work. Smoking a cigarette on the 38th floor. Leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, our show is like the total opposite vibe.
Yeah.
Which...
You got a good crew, too. Like, even before, like, I grew up listening to Carson and Kennedy, so yeah. It's, like, funny that, like, you know, because I met them outside when we went to that beach house.
Oh, my God. So we used to do this awesome event called the Mixed Beach House, and it's down the Cape, and a listener wins a week at this, like, mansion on the water. Really? It's so dope. And then an artist comes in, and you two played. And so it's nice. My first beach house, and I show up, and I'm like, Craig? Again, Craig's just at different points in my life.
Craig just appears.
He does.
We call it Craig's hair.
No.
It happened in New York one time, too.
He's going, Craig's here, and I just walk out of nowhere.
He was doing the sound, and me and Craig just got to watch Bono and The Edge sing, and it was the craziest, craziest
so
day.
Cool. Me and Annie are like, just like arm in arm.
We're like swaying back like, and forth.
Yeah, Cape Cod backdrop to it us, was... YouTube private concert.
But speaking of Craig's, my parents are in New York at like a jazz club, and my dad's like, guess who I just saw? And he's like, Craig Hunt is at the jazz club. And I was like, I'm not, I don't want to hear anymore.
Anywhere where I am, I call it a 33% chance I see Craig Hunt.
I like that. Yeah. I believe that. Yeah. I think I'm going to be like 85 years old in Fort Lauderdale or something.
I low-key hire doppelgangers around the country to show up at parties.
How many Craigs are there?
I literally sit in my basement all day long.
The Craig with no beard this week.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
the real Craig's somewhere.
Yeah, Craig's here today.
It's always when you need him the most. When you need a little boost of Craig,
I'll be there for you.
Like the time we time we saw you in New York City and we went to that like bar that had the punch out.
That's my favorite game of all
time. You broke the game.
Of course you did. Amazing.
No big deal.
But hey, you know where to find me and you know where to find Annie. Mix 104.1 every morning from 6 to 10 a.m.
What a plug.
That was a good outro. There you go.
Thank you. I was going to ask, what about like, where's... The next school in broadcasting, you riding with them till the ship sinks, or not sinks, obviously, rides off into the sunset.
I'm like, do you know something that I don't?
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have, it's funny, I just feel like this industry is changing so much, radio has changed so much. I don't put anything out of my goals. I would love to try TV someday. I think I'm good on camera. I mean, you guys can tell me, maybe I'm not, but I know I'm like this camera. All I want at the end of the day is just to be able to talk to people and connect with people and like make people laugh. It's just simple. I just want to leave people better than I found them. You know, I want
respect.
I just want to make your day a little bit better, whatever it may
be. Because
I know how much it sucks when you wake up and the last thing you want to do is like get out of bed and put a smile on and whatever. And, you know, if someone's having a really shitty day driving into work and you say one thing that just be like, huh, that was pretty good. Or I can relate to that. Like, that's the best feeling
it's
in the whole world.
Plug.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
That's all it is.
I'm like fanboying. I love you, Annie.
I love you too.
I'm like, I do that.
You're going to get her autograph?
Yeah, no, I have.
Oh, Craig's legit my number one fan. No,
yeah, this is a known fact.
Ride or
like,
die.
I get jealous at like other people hear her stories. I'm like, she told me that. Like, you shouldn't know that.
We had something special.
Yeah, you told her.
Annie, really appreciate you coming in today, and this is great.
Yeah, thank of course.
Hey,
thank
round
you guys.
Of applause for Annie.
Thank you guys for having me. This
congrats
is awesome.
On the win. Come the marathon win.
It's a win at the end of the day.
It's a win.
Awesome. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you
guys so much.
So, 2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance, located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram @slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.
We're now joined by our own. We're sponsoring his Ultimate Die League spot, Riley Lang.
How are ya?
I'm great. So, first off, my first question before these knuckleheads get underway. How does it feel to, you know, be sponsored for, you know, a podcast such as Steel and Nails? I don't know if you've heard about us before this phone call, but yeah, here we are.
It's awesome. I mean, first one ever. It's never happened before. It's awesome. It's
a great, yeah, you're feeling. A trailblazer.
What's your favorite UDL tournament, Riley?
What is it? It'd have to be my first championship win.
That's a good second, but it's always the next one. It's always the next one.
I know. Well, I mean, I'm sitting pretty with a good five right now.
Oh, there we go. Five ranks. Let's go.
You guys definitely picked a good one.
Yeah, I was here live for the draft yesterday. So I saw that we got you. I heard there was a huge buzz in the UDL league area where people are scared. They know you're the best in the league. They know you get a good sponsorship behind you. I'm actually going to be playing there with my partner Mikey Brooks for Team Hedgebetter, so I'll be there for support anyways also. So
I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, you need anything.
Wait, don't wish him luck. You're facing him. Have fun.
Hold on 1 second. Can we? So can you match up against him?
Oh yeah, I think we. Yeah. Yeah,
are there betting odds? Can I bet on a dive or like? Can we set some things up here?
It's a random draw. It's a random draw that makes out the bracket. So it could be anyone.
And when you do these tournaments, I haven't been to one yet. Do you do a round robin? Do you play everyone kind of once, or is it kind of you just run through?
So the most recent one we had, we did, because we had so many rookie teams. We did do the round robin, but usually it's kind of the same teams that always show up, and it's just pull out of the bracket, and usually it's just a good amount of teams where we just go right into it.
So this is the time when we make a clip. We're going to like clip your highlights when I ask. Well, are you like a gritty player? Are you the type of player that, you know, you get so pissed at the other team that you want to fight them all and you end up winning a championship? Or, you know, what's your MO?
It's usually the other way around. Usually they're the ones. I chip at them. No one wants to play against me. I'm a dirtbag. I love it.
I wish I could hear what you say.
Love it. Love it.
So how do you become the number one ranked UDL player? Is it just championships? I mean, are we talking Jordan here, or is it kind of LeBron? I mean, you know, your athleticism, your gameplay. How are we looking there?
I mean, I got the championships. I very rarely miss table. My defense, it's good. I mean, I'm number one. So, I mean, I can't, you know, I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I mean, I very rarely drop the die.
Wow. You sound pretty cocky. If you don't miss the table,
I'm pretty scared for Saturday.
This is going to be my first tournament. Like I said, what can I expect rolling into Saturday? What's that day entail?
Let's see. Bud Lights, a lot of guys, and
any chicks?
There's chicks that come. Mostly taking chicks.
Okay. Well, I was gonna say, is there like one or two chicks that like 10 guys are going after? Like,
yeah,
it's like rough and rowdy.
It's usually girlfriend support.
Come on, girlfriends ain't bringing no friends. What happened to the day?
But girlfriends bring friends.
What happened to the days of girls being like, hey, my friend over there thinks you're cute, and be like, hey, what up?
Oh, come on, God.
Speaking of rough and rowdy, Anton. So your last name Lang, a defending champion who's been on this show many times. Last name Lang. He's undefeated. So you have there's an undefeated streak of Langs on the line here on Saturday. Are you going to take the belt?
Absolutely. I'm already hearing that there's more teams than there was. I think there was 18 teams last tournament. I'm hearing there's already 24 confirmed teams for Saturday. Oof. So with that being said, it's a big tournament.
So if you win, I'll put it this way. So if you win this tournament, you and your partner, we'll find your Venmo. I will Venmo you enough to get a 30 rack for you guys drink free Saturday night.
Let's go.
I will do that. And since StubHub already has 600 plus of my money, might as well throw another 30.
Listen,
the whole pod will pitch in on that.
I'm wearing this XL black, stealing that as fuck.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
If I don't win. I will Venmo you guys for a 30-pack.
Oh, that's our plan.
Return the favor.
The 30-pack challenge for the UDL tournament this weekend.
I'm not even in it to win the championship anymore. I'm in it for the 30.
Can we get a shout-out to your partner? Who's your partner? What's his name?
I was going
to
say.
Justin Richards.
Are you worried about him at all? Are you kind of carrying? Or you guys are just, you know, so in tune that it's, you know. Let's just say this.
He's with a bunch of our buddies right now playing die. I just got off the golf course, so I'm not that worried about
him. So he's doing his homework. You already got it done. So.
My homework's been done.
You're Shaq. He's Kobe. I get it.
I love it. You don't need to work out in the off season.
You're,
to do
you're
is just show up.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just like riding a bike, baby.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Is there a where's the venue? Is it just in someone's backyard?
It's in someone's backyard, and not even the. This backyard that we're playing in is in my hometown in Rockland. Wow. And it's where
shout out to the Bulldogs.
Yep. Absolutely. Once a dog, always a dog.
Oh boy.
and this same backyard is where I won my first championship.
Dirt.
Back
grass.
To the roots, baby.
Is it rocky? Is it dirt?
Brady returned back to New Orleans.
What's the court looking
Craig,
like?
Nobody fucking cares what your chances are.
I'm fucking dialed. Like, you don't understand. You might have not seen me play there before, but you'll be hearing waves of what's going on around where I'm going there.
I think you finish in last place, Craig.
Me and my partner.
I'm not saying last place, but I don't think you finish above like bottom five.
I'm going top 10. If there's 24 teams, I'm going top 10 at least.
I got faith in them.
Of course you do.
That's my boy.
I like it, but that's the confidence you have to have coming into it.
Exactly.
Because you got people that are like, I've never done this. I'm kind of scared. And it's like, all right, well, you just lost. Thanks for $25.
See ya.
You know what I mean? So it's just you gotta come in it. You gotta be cocky. That's just how I roll. You gotta.
Riley,
everyone knows it, so they're expecting it, and they're gonna get it.
This is my last question here, unless these guys have anything. What's your message to the rest to your opponents on Saturday? What do you have to say to them before, you know, what's done is done?
Hopefully they don't see me on the other side of the table when they step up.
Oh boy.
How many plunks are we getting?
Ooh, I had two last tourney, which is a record. I don't know.
Over under 1.5. Where am I betting?
Yeah. Where are those odds open?
I'm gonna say at least one.
Okay.
I like that. All right.
Are you a moonshot or are you a low blow?
I'm ready to go.
You going high die?
Oh,
dies up.
Dies in the sky.
Yeah.
Baby.
Wait. So what is that? What you say pre-throw? Because a lot of these guys haven't played beer die before. So before to make,
say, I would have mistake. Die.
Yeah. Live die. Quick tap of the table. Live die, and then you can
then
throw.
Once it's up in the air. Yep. It's all fair game.
It's all fair game after that. So you gotta give a quick heads up. So anyone else gonna be there this weekend?
I'm not sure if I'm gonna make it there, but I will be at a tournament this year.
Okay, sounds good. Love the
commitment. I'll definitely be there.
We'll all be there at some point this year.
And Magic, you come with me Saturday? I'm playing.
I can't.
You're a pussy.
I might be there.
All right. I will be there.
But
don't you have to work? You work like every day.
I know. We'll see
what I can do. The diamond tie.
Yeah. I'm never around.
He's always.
All right, Riley. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday. Hopefully, see you.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Hey, bring it home, Riley.
Yep, let's go.
You're getting that 30 pack Saturday night. I got you.
We'll get a pick with our Steel and Nash shirts on together.
Love it.
Sounds good, brother. Thank you.
Peace. Back here for another segment of Laying Down the Law, presented by our very own, the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. Pat, back in the house tonight. How are we feeling?
I feel great.
Great.
Okay.
My picks haven't been, but.
Yeah, I have to say, one person that's not feeling great in this room, and we do need a little bit of help, is our little host over here.
We're getting that right away?
Yeah, I want to get it out of the way.
We got it out of the way?
I'm curious of this.
So I tried buying four seats on StubHub today. It was like over $600, and they told me they were going to be like club seats. They gave me the row, and they gave me the seats. And then, long story short, I was just like, all right, I'm going to see where these seats are. I went to go check it out. Couldn't find the seats, so I emailed the Legends or whatever. And they said, oh, you bought seats to the restaurant inside, not actual tickets to the game. So then I emailed StubHub, and I'm like, can I get my money back? Like, what's the deal with this? You never said this. Like, it should say, like, not seats to the game.
and they said, you're not getting your money back. You have to resell them. So what can I do in a... I guess I should have to put a dollar in your pocket before I ask for legal advice, but what's the spiel with that?
You got fucking smoked.
tough luck. No. Just sucker bullet every minute. And you're the sucker. Yeah.
You know what you do is you literally go to the restaurant, you build up a tab and you run.
Yeah, then you fucking bail. Yeah.
Which is the Legends Club?
Yeah.
Are you actually in the building?
It's in the building, yeah.
Oh, you're fine. Then you can.
No, there's no.
I don't think you can get in.
I want seats, though.
But I don't even think you can get in. Like, how? I think you need to get tickets, and then you can get into the restaurant.
Yeah, I think you don't get into the restaurant unless you have a ticket. Yeah. Oh. So I need to get a ticket now, and then I get the restaurant. So I can't even go.
That's a development.
Yeah, the balcony is like $350 right now.
Oh, man.
So the Legends Club is like that exclusive that they charge $160 for a seat in there?
I just found this out.
I don't think they do. Yeah, I think Adam's just a sucker.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think he just got beat.
Every day is a school day, man.
Just good living, line. Put it on
learning.
A shirt.
Living and learning. Speaking of the TD Garden and the Boston Celtics, Pat was picking Brooklyn all series long.
That's obnoxious.
And what do you know? The Celtics sweep them in four games. We'll start with that before we make the picks. You know, great series for the Celtics. You know, beating two of the top premier players in all of basketball. I think that really says testament about this team and how far they've come. I think Jason Tatum has really shown his stardom. I think Jaylen Brown's a great sidekick. And then the rest of these guys have really come on the floor and have played well. I'll give the floor to whoever wants to take it, but you know, it's going to be an interesting series.
Give it a steal. Steal two or three episodes ago, literally.
Yeah, it was like the Nets sucked. Dude.
He begged for the Nets, and we said, you're fucking
called
up.
You all fucking idiots.
Here
we are, four.
Steal, that four. Was beast mode. I'll go to war with you any day.
I gave him six like an idiot.
I mean, Grant Williams was the MVP of that series.
He's
in my
incredible.
Batman. The way he shut down KD, it was phenomenal. I thought Smart and Jaylen Brown in games one and two were definitely the best two players. And Tatum was kind of quiet. And he was kind of quiet the whole series until game four, where he really, and besides the game winner, obviously, but he really hit big shots in game four that won us that game. I think if he misses a few of those, it's actually a different story the way KD was playing.
Yeah.
They fouled him out on the most Bush League nonsense thing on the planet. That was
what I saw in this series that can be parallel to the next series is, you know, they shut down Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and guys like, was it Bruce Brown? I think Seth Curry had a phenomenal series. I thought he was terrific shooting-wise. Yeah. So if you let those kind of guys beat you and you stop the front runners, you're going to sweep a team. You're going to beat a team really well.
And if Grayson Allen beats us, I'm
no, that's my point.
I'm running on
but that's my point. You can let that guy beat you and still win. But going to the series, I think this is the series. The winner of the Celtics Bucks wins the NBA championship. I'll say that right now.
Oh, you think they go all the way?
All the way.
Oh, I just,
all the way.
I definitely think the East, like this is like the Eastern Conference Finals in theory.
Yeah, I think the only team that's like okay like makes me question a little bit, the Warriors, exactly. Yeah, the Warriors have played dynamite. They were great in closing out Denver last night.
Phoenix?
They
just don't exist?
Booker's banged up.
They're banged up.
Everybody's banged up. Yeah. We're going to get banged up. We're going to lose Robert Williams again.
I don't think so.
Love positive vibe. Positive vibe.
I don't want to sip the Kool-Aid. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be green. I'm afraid.
After Chris Middleton went down, I'm sipping it.
That's the most important thing in the series. The game's without Chris Middleton, because if he comes back later on, like we got to take advantage of that big time.
They ruled him out for the series.
No.
Out the whole series?
I thought he could come back in six or seven.
Today, they ruled him out for the series.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm sure to your point, if it gets to there, they'd be like, all right, no, he's back. Like maybe. They could do that.
No, he's not.
If Chris Middleton comes back in game six, that's going to be the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. I would be so mad.
But we talked a couple weeks ago at this second round of this Eastern Conference Finals with how close the top four teams were. Mm-hmm. We're going to be an unbelievable two series coming up. And this is basically the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then Philly, I don't know what's happening
with them.
Right now.
We'll see.
If Philly can fix his hand, I'm afraid. If he can't, I'm not too worried.
Embiid?
Yeah, his hand is...
Well, they're going to get by Toronto tonight.
Right.
Not a chance they win game seven. If they don't win tonight.
What a tank job that would be if they lose.
Is Doc gone if
they 100%.
The whole process is done if they lose that.
Nash is done too.
Oh yeah, I'd fucking.
Nash gotta be done. He better be done.
He's daring the headlights, that guy.
well, just not being able to maintain your players there and getting a player who didn't even fucking play for you and giving up James Harden, whether he wanted to be there or not, make another trade.
Yeah, not even close to the coach that Brad Stevens was, but a lot of characteristics when you're talking about handling these diva and top-notch players. I mean, it's tough to deal with a guy like Kyrie Irving, even I'll give Kevin Durant credit as much. Maybe he was hurt this year. You know, he played whenever he was healthy. You know, he dropped 39 the game right there.
At least tried.
I'll give him credit. I mean, don't get me started with Ben Simmons. We might not even talk about Ben Simmons, but I don't even think
he doesn't deserve.
If you were in net, would you punch him in the mouth the next time you saw him?
I'd give him a nice flying knee in the face. I got to get up there. He's like 6'8".
Yeah, you can't.
10 figures there.
Yeah. I'll find a stool. Yeah, but I guess we'll do the walk around. Pat, do you want to start? Do you have a prediction on the Celtics-Bucks series? Who's going to win?
There's only one way I can go. I got to ride the Celtics.
How many games?
Well, you could go the other way.
No. I was obnoxious. I bought into the hype of the 2013 NBA All-Star team with Durant and Kyrie and Blake Griffin and... Was it Drummond?
Yeah. He was a big fat load of a mess.
Oh yeah, he's washed
and
up.
And then Nick Claxton, but over nine.
But to my credit, I mean, just to defend myself for a split second here, I was wrong. Yes, but you know that could have been 2-0 Nets very easily. Yes.
Well, I agree.
Yeah. So I wasn't that far off.
No. You ended up tight series.
You ended up being very far off, like the score wise. Yeah. But yeah, I get to your point. If that game winner doesn't go in game one, who knows what happens in the rest of the series? Yeah.
And they get up 15 points rather than shoot game two. But yeah, I mean, they just looks.
Do you think any reverse psychology at all? Do you think like maybe you should take the Bucks so the Celtics win?
Oh, to be a real haul.
That's what I'm doing.
It'd be a real haul. I'm going Celtics in six.
Okay.
Yeah, Tatum's just on a tear. He looks unbelievable. Marcus Smart's just all over the place. I think the coaches really got them clicking. And just, you know, I think they're playing their best ball right now going into
the
series.
Oh, for sure. Rob Williams back to, like, he'll be back to normal speed. He's kind of, you know, up and down in the Nets series, just kind of getting back and forth.
Just to have that option.
Yeah.
And I don't even mind Daniel Theis. Like, he's been a good terrific player. What a trade back to get him.
Oh, yeah. Everyone was laughing. Everyone was like, oh, you got him for Schroeder? Because Schroeder, I mean, he had good points, but he didn't really.
And they throw on the fact that Middleton's going to be out. So, you got to go Celtics.
I mean, who covers Giannis? Did you put Grant and Horford on him?
Grant and Horford on him today.
Horford's not going to stop him. I mean,
Grant Williams is what Semi Ojeleye couldn't be.
They call it the office there in the corner there. Him hitting that three compared to Semi. I've said this before. It's like
A3. He was
so
like
much happier when he's shooting that three instead of Semi when he was shooting that three.
Semi was the fucking worst.
It was like I'm swearing when he puts that up. And Marcus Smart's shot selection has gotten 10 times better, which is...
Him versus Holiday this series, I don't know if either of them are going to score a point.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart's shot, that game one, didn't you think he was going to heave that three?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. The whole garden did.
And you can tell that there's just been a change in that locker room. Ime Udoka of, you know, last season, he's shooting that all day. This season, he's looking for the next guy, and it turned out to be the game
Bruce
winner.
Bruce Brown's, like, still floating through the air trying to block that shot. Fucking dude, he was gone, dude.
Yeah, that was the greatest finish I've seen in a while for like a game winner. That was unreal. The spinning layup, all of it.
In real time, I didn't think he had it. In real time, I didn't think he beat the clock. And then once he slowed it down, he had it by a whole second.
And even the defense at the other end. Yeah. That's how it was the whole series. The way they locked
those
two down.
That was crazy too, because that was like the first playoff buzzer beater like for the Celtics.
For Tatum. His first game winner, I think, ever. Oh. Really? No way.
In the playoffs. Yeah, something crazy like that.
No way.
I swear to God.
I think it was just game one.
I know it was definitely Tatum's first game winner.
Because Paul Pierce hit one against Miami, and they went up like 3-0. I remember that one.
I don't know if I'm buying that stat. It was definitely Tatum.
Yeah. Anton, you got Bucks in six. What do you got?
I get Bucks in five.
Fair the deal.
Oh, so the Celtics are definitely going to win that.
Yeah, I mean, I just... I,
Might have to pull out Celtics in four.
Giannis is the best player in the league.
For sure.
I don't know how...
We said this about Durant. Durant's not.
Not anymore.
Durant's the most...
This is Tatum's tour where he just takes down every best player.
It could be. I mean, Giannis is a different player than Tatum. I mean, I don't think... I feel like Jaylen Brown was really hard to match up against for the Nets. I feel like they just couldn't match up against him. They had to go short. They had to take out Drummond. They had to go, you know, they had to go really short, and the Celtics offense could really kind of attack with when they went short, and if they went big, they were just kind of a mess, and our, you know, they couldn't really get up the court. And if you get in a, you know, half court defense against the Celtics with the best defensive in the league, they're going to play well. But you have Giannis going down, you know, downhill, and Drew and all of them, you know, the Grayson Allen, as much as he sucks, he can hit a three.
I
just think it's going to be a different series. I think we're overconfident. I want the Celtics. I really do. I really do.
No, you don't.
And I do. I love the Celtics.
Nice. Go reverse that call.
I am.
For me, I think this is going to be the best series of the entire NBA playoffs. I think you have a team coming off an NBA championship, you know, who's been there, done that. But they're without the sidekick, and I think that's the, you know, ticker in the series of, you know, kind of telling of how things are going to go. To my point of now you just have Giannis, and that's a tough task, but I think Smart's going to be on holiday. They're going to come up with a big game plan on limiting Giannis. And like I said, if you have these corner guys like Connaughton and Grayson Allen, those guys having to beat you, I think you're looking pretty good, right? Especially if you can you're not going to shut down Giannis, don't get me wrong, but if you slow him down, I'm going Celtics in seven. I think it's going to be a big time game seven at home, a very memorable game where, you know, Tatum steps up, and, you know, these unsung heroes you're talking about, and Grant Williams and Daniel Tice, Derek White, who was awful in the first, I think, two games of the series.
Yeah, brutal.
Really came back. I think with game four, he played about 25 minutes. And they were playing who's hot and who's not. Because Peyton Pritchard, he took White's minutes. And then all of a sudden, where Pritchard kind of went to bed in game four, White kind of took him. So if you have guys like that picking each other up on a night-to-night basis, that's a really dangerous team.
Celtics in five. No Chris Middleton, no problem. Not worried.
Okay.
Not worried.
I got him in four.
Let's go after
that little game five fiasco.
Oh, so I'm getting my money refunded. Reason.
Yes, I do.
Get the StubHub refunded.
If you believe in magic,
print the shirts.
Good stuff. All right, so we'll now get to our land down the law picks. So I'll go first, and I'm going to take what we were just talking about. I think the Celtics on a Sunday at 1 o'clock set the tone and set it early. Celtics win by at least double digits. I get that.
Sheesh.
Double digits, he says.
That's not... I guess my pick is Celtics.
Yeah. Well, Celtics money line, Celtics points.
Celtics, we're going money line.
Yeah, we just go...
We do money line.
We just pick.
Don't get crazy. Yeah.
I'm up. All right. Go piggyback you.
Oh, there we go. All right, Celtics. There we go.
I was going to do an NFL draft.
Yes. Yeah, you could do that. Come on.
Let's get to the draft next.
No, it's such a boring draft this year. No, I'm just going to try to redeem myself here, and I'm going to go Celtics Sunday afternoon. I mean, we have a great day. I mean, it's a great drinking day and gambling day. We get a first communion of the family.
Watching
the Celtics. No, I'm going to go Celtics. Not by double digits. Celtics and a nail biter. Somehow they pull it out right at the end.
All right.
So one potential. I got like a potential 1-1. Okay. The real one, Gerrit Cole, Saturday, beating the Royals. Yankees money line. Ooh. The other potential is Game 7 Raptors if it happens.
Okay, so your pick is the Raptors if it goes 7.
Yes.
Okay.
And Yankees if not.
No, that's very easily, like, we can work with that.
Yeah.
No.
Mine is Luka closes out the Jazz on Saturday.
Is it Saturday?
Game 6.
Whatever. Yeah.
He closes them out. Mitchell's a good. You know, he averages over 30 points in the playoffs. He's, you know, they should have, you know, while Luka was out, they should have put him away. Yeah, they didn't put him away. Luka's back. It's over.
They're a bunch of losers.
They got to blow it up, yeah.
Gobert's been so inconsistent.
He got stung by a bee today. It might be out.
They're down an assistant coach. Anyone see that news story?
No, it happened. No.
He got indicted for, like, scamming the players' union's health benefits. So he's not going to be coaching tonight.
Little lawyer talk. I love when we mix in some lawyer talk.
Laying down the law.
Shove him in the fucking cell. I got I get the Maple Leafs over the Bruins.
Boo. Maple Leafs over the oh, is it tomorrow. Last game of the season, Saturday night?
I believe
tomorrow.
So, right?
It's tomorrow. Tomorrow, night, I think. I think they're
tomorrow
back.
Tomorrow night, back to back? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Am I allowed to pick that?
You're allowed to pick whatever you
not
want.
Not a fucking
man.
Chance.
Whatever your hat desires, man.
Taking the Maple Leafs on this podcast, dude.
Yeah, go to Canada.
Get out of the
it's
room.
It's out the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you might have to.
So what do we think about this NFL draft? That's actually, we're recording on a Thursday, so it's the first round's happening tonight.
Yeah, like right now.
Very vanilla.
Yeah, a lot of controversy of who's going to be the number one pick for the first time in a while, which I kind of like. You know, top picks and Trevon Walker. Well, they have Aiden Hutchinson going down in the DM, huh? He was supposed to be number one.
Yeah.
He's such a Dan Campbell guy, though, Hutchinson.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
He is not. He's going. And actually, yeah, Detroit, Michigan yeah. Boom, boom. That actually works out.
He's a hometown guy. They were saying that. He's not going below two.
He did do, like, what he did to Ohio State was, like, one of the best performances I've seen by a Michigan, like, football player. Like, he basically shut down Ohio State by, like, himself.
And so this Malik Willis guy from Liberty, he's had a great combine and, like, everything else of that, but he played for Liberty. At what point right. do you just say, how much of a value is this guy to a team, and why would I trade up to this, get this guy, and, like, give away other assets? Like,
only takes one team.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
I would to really trade. Love the quarterback. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I'd think about picking him if I was later, but I would never trade
like,
up
you know,
for
yeah,
guy.
Like if I'm, like, the Colts, and I have just got Matt Ryan, like, I'll look at Malik Willis. Maybe he's not, you know, the same, like, Matt Ryan's not a great mentor style-wise, but, like,
somebody just, can sit there.
Yeah, somebody and just learn how to be a quarterback in the NFL. Or you know, maybe it's too early for the Ravens or, you know, maybe where, I don't know. Willis is very hard for me. None of these quarterbacks are
no.
interesting.
No, I would not want a quarterback.
Here's the problem, I think, now with one of these quarterbacks, especially right now if somebody trades up to get one, is these kids, it reminds me of E.J. Manuel a few years ago at Buffalo. They had no business being picked in the top 10. Someone shoots up there, gets you, right? And all of a sudden, this kid that should have been a mid-second round pick gets hammered into the first round, and now all of a sudden you're calling him a bust. He was over-evaluated.
Yeah, it's like Bortles.
Team that
Bortles
sucks.
Going
yeah.
four.
He never should have been picked that high. And there was a lot better players that were on the board, but you need a quarterback.
Yeah, and it's a bad, you know, bad year for quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL draft. So to your point of, you know, people being in the top 15 who another draft, they're saying next year it should be a lot like last year's draft where there'll probably be like five first-round quarterbacks. Like that's a draft where maybe if a guy like that is in that draft, maybe he's going in the third round.
And it's tough, like he said, because like, it's like Zach Wilson who gets thrown in, and like he didn't play well, but he was also just like the worst team on the fucking planet. Like he was just smoked.
And another thing, so, like I was listening to Sirius, and they were like, why are these you know, bad teams, you know, going to draft a wide receiver in the first round pick? It's like a homeless guy like worrying about, you know, the Red Sox game tonight. Like it's
no one's going to block from no.
Yeah, like,
what a line.
But like seriously, like what? Like if you have no court, you know, no real offense, why are you gonna draft use a first round pick on a wide receiver with a bad quarterback? You know, if you're Pittsburgh and you have Mitch Trubisky throwing you,
right?
Why use the, you know, or the Atlanta Falcons? Like, so the over under is like 6.5, I think, of wide receivers going in the first round, and I'm curious of like why, you know. With the Jamar Chases and every, you know, the recent success of these young wide receivers, I think that's a big hit, especially with, you know, offenses kind of taking over on defense. You know,
it's a deep receiver draft too.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Like that they're undervaluing Jameson Williams because he has an injury. Yeah, so he's going to be out for the first six games of probably a 10-year NFL career.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so at that point,
the USC kid didn't run; he was banged up.
Drake London. Yeah. He's huge, like that guy.
Yeah, that guy's a
that
host.
Guy should be a top 10 pick. He's gonna be.
I saw him as high as 6.
I think Gilbert Wilson is it? Gilbert, he's the first one supposed to go off the board.
I got it here. Garrett Wilson, the receiver from Ohio State.
He's supposed to go first.
Good year. Yeah, they have him.
Seventh or eighth.
Olave's there too.
So they already have one to go to Minnesota with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a
deal. Dave Thielen too, no?
Yep.
Why would you? Why waste the first round pick there? Minnesota,
so
obviously,
you don't have to pay, to his point, Thielen. You don't have to pay Thielen.
But you have Thielen. So many other probably needs as Minnesota. I mean,
they weren't that far off last year. They really weren't.
But you have to have a need somewhere.
They're Kirk Cousins away.
They're never close though.
With Kirk Cousins, you're just like that close and never gonna get
now.
That.
Who would you like to see the Patriots select at pick 21? So that's been up and down. I don't think they should take. I don't think they should.
Patriots are dead.
I don't think they should take a receiver. I think they should. I think anywhere on the defensive side of the football is a win. I think probably stay away. You're a little heavy with safety, so anything else besides that, I've kind of been looking around. Obviously, everyone's got their own mock draft, and you know people like that. I'm not just kidding. Oh, they should take this guy, that guy, and that guy. But there's Kyer Elam, who I've heard a lot about, you know, the Florida junior cornerback that could really make the noise. I've also heard from the Boston College offensive lineman on the offensive side of the ball. You know, give Mac Johnson protection. And
what about the Michigan cornerback?
Zion Johnson, Michigan cornerback. Yeah. I haven't heard of the Michigan cornerback, but.
And then there's the two linebackers there.
Utah and Georgia.
Yeah, Utah and Georgia. Yeah, yeah.
Utah and Georgia.
Barry and whatever the other guy's name is.
If I can see it's him, like
Jordan, maybe.
That's what I mean. We don't even know half these people's names. We just kind of like
trade them. Trade down.
And I'm very down for any of the guys from Georgia.
there's like 10 of them.
I know. Yeah, the Georgia defense was incredible. Like
also, can I change my laying down the law pick?
No.
Instead of so you got the Celtics pick. I want to do EJ Perry gets drafted this weekend. I think that's a good one.
I like that.
We'll let it slide. We'll let it slide.
Well, because he was on the show.
You got like
played up round
before this. Before
yeah,
the seventh
do before
round.
A certain round.
Before the seventh round.
Yeah, it's late.
How many rounds are there?
There's seven.
Is it pretty guaranteed he's getting drafted?
No, it's not guaranteed.
No,
at all.
It's not.
All right, then that's fine.
I would
then.
Say
let
before
him...
the seventh round or Mr. Irrelevant. If you get Mr. Irrelevant, I'll
you'll pay off my stuff up debt.
I'll give you $50. No, I'll donate $50 to fucking charity.
Who's Mr. Irrelevant?
The last pick of the draft.
Okay. If he's Mr. Irrelevant, I'll donate $50 to the charity.
At that stage, you're almost better off not getting drafted and get to pick your team.
Yeah.
Rather than getting picked at the end of the draft.
I'm going to stick with he gets drafted. I'm going to stick with he gets drafted because I think he a lot of people, a lot of teams are looking at him to be, you know, what a Edelman, not what Edelman became, but was a dual threat quarterback who maybe
might have a better chance at being a wide receiver.
He was a great interview when he was on. Brown quarterback, transfer from BC, had a great year, had a great combine, threw three touchdowns in the North-South or Senior Bowl game. So he's had a hell of a created a hell of an opportunity for himself. So NFL draft time tonight, all weekend. Not gonna watch a lip during the weekend, but I might tune in at. They said Pats are picking at 10:50 p.m. tonight. I might tune in for that at the local pub.
Yeah,
we going?
Fuck no.
Oh yeah, you're
done with that.
Your
place.
Neck might have something to say different.
Oh, shit. I'm not even here. Get your laughs in.
We got anything else, guys? We're wrapping up. Ozark season 4 part 2.
Are you an Ozark guy, Pat?
No, I'm not a big shows guy.
Oh no,
not a big shows.
No
guy.
Time.
No time.
No time.
No time.
The grind continues
every day.
Every day.
How's business?
Yeah, how's business? Yeah.
Boring, buddy.
Good.
Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me out last time you were on.
Friends helping friends.
Friends helping friends.
Name of the game.
I think I'm almost in the clear, so that's great news.
I wouldn't hook you up with a loser.
That's why if you have any needs in the lawyer field, you hit up Pat Foley.
PJF Law.
It's in state or out of state.
PJF Law.
PJF Law.
We had a little field trip, though. We did have to go to Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
We had to close a loan out, close a deal out, and that was the only way to get it done. So
there we go.
California, Connecticut.
Not that far apart.
One state at a time.
Yeah, that's it. Nationwide, baby.
Anything else notable going on?
Do you have predictions for Ozark?
Yes, I think...
they all die?
That's what I want. I want them all to die, but I think they win.
That's probably... Everyone does want them to die, so they probably will win, because that's almost like killing us.
And I think she'll win, too.
Ruth.
I think Ruth has had enough going in her family where... You know, I think Bad Out of Hell comes out first episode, just kills the cartel guy.
What season is this?
It's the last.
The end.
Four.
It's the end. So
is it worth even starting?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. It's a hell of
a very good show.
Yeah. So tomorrow, Netflix releases the final 7 episodes of the whole series.
When's Cobra Kai coming back?
That's the real question.
That's the real question.
See, it's a lake.
Man in the Arena, anyone watch that?
Loved it.
I didn't see the last one yet, no.
Great episode tonight. 10. Made you a little tear jerk a little bit. Yeah. He gets a little emotional about his father.
He's not the dad his dad was.
Yeah. He admitted it.
Damn right he's not. He couldn't even do 10 minutes of fatherhood this year, and he was like, I'm going back.
You like it, Magic, though. It was all about Tampa and like him and Gronk like going out.
What's he said? I'm supposed to be in Tampa right now. I decided to stay back, but I should be in St. Pete right now.
You got
now.
Disowned by my sister. That's just what happened.
Nicole Forbes laid down the law on me and said, you're not going.
Did she go?
No.
No. She was like, she's like, because he works with her, and she's like, you're not leaving me.
Pretty much was going to leave like last minute. Drunken ticket was booked this weekend. It probably would have been a repeat of San Diego and gone.
So we're all just getting smoked at the StubHub. We're getting smoked at airlines. We're getting smoked of everywhere. We're just losing money.
But what were we talking about? Oh, Tampa. What did he say about Tampa? Does he love like the city? Like, does he hang out around?
Oh, no, he was just talking about like a lot of teams that like
Tom Brady hangs out with Magic Mike.
Yeah, that he was a free agent and a lot of teams, you know, said no to him, and he was like really surprised.
I don't buy that.
He needs to stop.
I don't buy that.
Stop.
Yeah. But he had that like badass motherfucker quote was just like, no, these guys rejected me.
You really buy that? The teams were like, we don't want you, Tom?
No, I think they were in better. I think they thought they were in better situations with a quarterback in their 30s or a young quarterback say, you know what, we don't need you. And then he just found Tampa as a – I think he leveled itself as with, like, football, family, you know, everything in between, and found that Tampa was the right spot. And then the Gronk thing was kind of funny. He, like, met him in, like, some random place in New York, and he was just like, yo, let's get it going. And we got it going. So it was,
I love that. And Gronk was just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, not to tease it too much.
Who was going after him? It was Tampa. They said the Raiders wasn't one of the teams.
San Fran, I think it was one of the teams.
Yeah, they actually chose Garoppolo over him.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to be kicking themselves there.
I think there's one quarterback.
Honestly, any team should.
The Titans, if you didn't know
he was going to go win that Super Bowl, I don't know. Maybe like the Chiefs shouldn't be taking him, but... That wasn't even an option.
He's in the
best
spot right now. If they get reloaded, if they get all their guys back, I mean
they're going interior offensive lineman tonight.
That's an easy NFC. I mean, you got to beat Rodgers, and you got to beat the defending.
Have him play San Fran.
You got to beat the defending Super Bowl champions. But I'll take number 12 any day against those guys.
But even when he was a free agent, like Tampa was one of the ones they kept talking about the whole time.
Yeah.
Because of the weapons. They were just a quarterback away.
Well, no, I think I heard like the day he said he was leaving New England, someone broke out, oh, he's going to Florida, and we all kind of knew it was Tampa, but someone like said Miami. We're like, no way he's going to Miami. He's not going to division rival, you know what I mean? But
he's trying to pull that.
He was trying to this year. I got a whole thing about that, but that I think that's a story for another day.
Yeah, save that for when we have Dakota back on.
Belichick's accidental text cost 10% of the team.
Mm-hmm.
I do buy that.
Belichick accidentally texted the wrong Brian, and now Tom's not in the division, and Tom lost a piece of the Dolphins.
And Sean Payton's not the head coach.
Yep.
Everything worked. Diabolical. Still,
and the show goes on.
He came out and said none of that was true, which is absolute bullshit.
Yep. I trust Bill. He's going to trade down tonight. He's going to trade back. We'll get a second. We'll get a third next year, baby. Whatever it is. We'll get another fourth.
Whatever he does.
The war room I want to be is the Rams one. McVay got that house and the.
Yeah, that looks nuts.
They got a movie coming out tonight. I think I saw
who.
The Rams, like
yeah, it was a big
like
video.
Stealing the,
hey, have you seen that?
Stealing the draft,
the Showtime Lakers on HBO. That show, it's like not a documentary; it's a show.
I saw a little bit.
I gotta watch it.
It was okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. What's his name? Kills it. John C. Reilly is just like an absolute player.
Oh, he's in it.
He plays fuck.
Bill Walton?
Jerry West.
Jerry West plays Jerry West.
John C. Reilly.
Yeah. He's nice. Pretty. I would use the word.
Talk about range.
Like, the logo.
I would use it as like Shagadelic. Like he plays like that. He's kind of shaggy in it. Does that make sense?
He was in Boogie Nights. Sure. He could do it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
get your shout outs in.
Yeah, episode 77. Shout out to Ray Bork. Tried getting you in, but didn't happen.
Yeah. Did you?
I did. I tried. we'll work our ways. Maybe 177, right?
Yeah.
We missed it. It's not as good. Same thing with the Oilers.
We didn't get Rachel Star on 69. We really failed.
We still got Wayne Gretzky for 99, guys. Start working.
Of course.
A great one.
We got 22 weeks.
Chicklets just had him.
Did they?
Yeah, they did have Gretzky. The great one.
Does he got like a vodka coming out? I'll buy it all.
Shout out Grinnell.
Yeah, I was texting him the other day.
That's a pretty sick pick to take.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He said that just like it just looked like a god. Hopefully we can get him on soon so he can tell the story.
Exactly, yes.
That's all from Stale and Naz. Patrick Foley from the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. Appreciate you coming in for the laying down the law segment once
Love
again.
To have you.
Yep.
Love being here.
Yep. Go pub. Jonesy sucks. Okay, there we go.
Slate Edge Fitness and Performance. Did we shut them out?
We always do. We're good.
I'm not going to leave you hanging, Craig Kelly. Keep doing great work. We're still recording. I'm pressing the end button. I'm getting all the extra footage here. I'm the producer now. Just piss yourself on, Tide. It'll be great for camera. Content's rolling. Good. All right. Turn it off.